So a thought weed is really just a belief, a limiting belief, or a story we tell ourselves that limits us in some way. So that could be that it produces a really negative feeling, or maybe it stops us from trying something new, or it could even prevent us from living our deepest purpose and achieving our highest potential. That's a thought weed. But a mind seed, by contrast, something we plant, is a more resourceful belief or a better story that's also true that we tell ourselves that produces more resources. So we might produce better feelings in us, might give us the courage to try something new. It may in fact be the very thing that fuels and frees us to live our deepest purpose and achieve our highest potential. So in this video, what we're going to be talking about is the very first step in the process of transforming a limiting belief into a more resourceful one, from pulling the thought weed and planting the mind seed. This is step one of four steps. And that is to ask yourself this one question. It all starts here. How do I feel? What am I feeling in this moment? So, as it relates to a given subject, an idea, anything like that, you're asking yourself, how am I feeling about it? Most of us walk past this very simple truth because the feelings are actually much like the guidance that you get in your central nervous system for your physical body. Your emotions, my emotions, are our guidance system. So in the same way that I have pleasure and pain sensors in my body, those things guide me. They reward me when I do something that helps my body and they hurt me when I do something that isn't. I touch a hot stove, ow! That's telling me something, that's guiding me. So without those pleasure and pain sensors in the body, we actually could be putting ourselves at great risk. The emotional body does the same thing, but it has less to do with physical protection and more to do with your purpose. Your emotional body is there to guide you. My kids used to love to play a game with me. I have two little girls. When they were younger, they would love to blindfold me, hide something, and then they would guide me through the house. The way they would do it is that simple game. They would say, "Dad, you're getting cooler, you're getting colder. Oh my gosh, you're at the North Pole, you're so freezing." And that was an indication that I had wandered really far from where I wanted to be. "Now you're getting warmer, Dad. Getting warmer still, getting hot, super hot. Oh my gosh, you're standing on the sun." I knew I was right where I needed to be. And our emotional life does the exact same thing for us. So you remember the negative emotions that we talked about, these guys, you remember these guys. Those negative emotions are all there to guide us. We should be grateful for these feelings because they teach us something. Now, there's another way to think about our emotional life, and it is to imagine it like the gas gauge in our car. Something really neutral. Sometimes when we have negative feelings, we might feel bad about having those negative feelings. But a gas gauge is really just an indicator. It's just there to tell us when the fuel is low, and it's an indicator that guides us to fill the tank. So imagine that your emotional life is a lot like that gas gauge, only you have, in this case, kind of an emotional gauge. And when it's running on empty, you might have this range, this spectrum of feelings, but when it's running on empty, you might have things like, at the lowest level, total despair. And then with a little bit more rage, then anger. And you'll notice how actually rage is laddering up from despair. Rage is a more empowered emotion than despair is. Anger is a slightly less intense emotion than rage. And so what that means is sometimes when somebody's angry, they're actually doing better because they might have come from rage. So be thinking about this spectrum. Or if you get to more of a neutral state, you might be feeling frustration, maybe just boredom. Starting to get a little bit more positive, you get curiosity coming online. Still greater as you kind of ladder your way up and the tank gets more and more full emotionally, you end up in a place like this with anticipation, excitement, and then joy or ecstasy. And so as you look at the overall model here, you can begin to see and imagine that you have just one simple spectrum, a continuum of emotional laddering that all of us live with every single day. And the gauge is always moving in some direction, one way or another. And when we pay attention to that gauge, we are getting critical guidance and information. So everything in this process of transforming limiting beliefs into more positive ones is all about starting with paying attention to how you feel. Here's the next question. Not all of us know how we feel all the time. In fact, most of the time, we don't pay any attention to how we feel. We just kind of live through our days feeling whatever we're feeling, and eventually, if it's intense enough, we'll sense it. But true mastery and growth and development is actually connected with the ability to sense and feel ever more subtle emotions. And so this is our task, is to become more and more aware and awake to the subtle emotional fluctuations that happen in us. So here's my question for you. How do you know, if you come to me and you say, I'm angry, how do you know you're angry? Or if you say you're bored, how do you know you're bored? What is giving you that information? Is it a physical sensation? If so, where is it located? How is it being expressed? Does it have kind of a color or a texture? Is it deep or is it shallow? How do you know you're having the feelings you're having? So if you take just a minute and you actually use this as a practice, one of the things you'll notice is that emotion is literally just energy in motion. And the reason this is important is because when you start to detect almost the physical spatial quality of emotion, when you can take something that only exists normally in time and turn it into space, you get more dimensions. And when you get more dimensions, you have greater awareness. And when you have greater awareness, you can actually direct it. You can actually observe it. And when you observe it, you transcend it. So for example, anger actually has a tendency to move up. It has a heating, rising quality. Often you can feel it in the back of your neck. Sometimes you can feel it as a tension in your gut. Sometimes it's a tightness in the throat. But there's a physiological expression of anger. Sadness has that downward falling quality. Fear has a constricted quality. You can often feel your breathing get shallower. Your whole front of your body, which is where the vulnerable parts of your body are and your organs are, can get tight and tense and muscular instead of relaxed and open and free. So start to notice now, what is the feeling you're having and how do you know you have that feeling? So this is the first step in this process. So my suggestion would be to start with a subject, any subject, that you have some sort of negative feeling towards. Bring the story, the beliefs, into your conscious awareness and see what you start to feel. Don't worry about the story yet. Just what are you feeling? And how do you know what you're feeling? Take a minute, close your eyes, do a body scan, starting at your feet, going up through your calves, through your thighs, through your abdomen, your pelvis, up through your chest, your solar plexus, your shoulders, your neck, your face, your scalp, your top of your head, your eyes, your jaw. What are they feeling? What are they physically sensing? And then see if you can see the shape and the texture. Now, this may seem like a strange practice. Don't try to change the emotion. Just observe it. Just see if you can understand what you might be sensing. And again, if you're feeling something very subtle, it's a very advanced practice to be able to sense it, detect it, and apply some sort of description to it. And in some cases, you don't have to describe it with an emotional word. Sometimes you can just use physical descriptions, metaphors. What shape is it? Is it a ball? Is it a dense ball? Is it in your gut? Is it deep? Is it the surface skin? Does it have pricklies? Is it moving? Is it like an emotion, like an amorphous orb? Is it a shapeless mass? Is it vacuous? Is it like cotton candy? Is it sticky? Is it? So you can begin to see how you use these concrete, tangible metaphors. You can start to notice how emotion is energy in motion. And it leads to the capacity to transcend it and to work with it rather than to have it guide us. So in the next video, we're going to talk about what to do next, step 2.